Like to call to order the March 9th, 2023 meeting of Laws, Rules, and Government Services Committee. We have myself, Legislator Heppner, Legislator Roberts, Legislator Levine, and Legislator Ronk present. Not present is Legislator Gavaris. Can I get a motion to call the meeting to order? Sorry for the minutes.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, let's go into resolution 102, resolution number 73, establishing a policy to prohibit certain appointees of Ulster County elected officials and Board of Elections from holding any elected public office of any city, town, or village within Ulster County. Motion to discuss?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Anyone on the discussion?
You have the amendments before you. The current version includes, just pretty much, deputy county executives, assistant deputy county executives, department heads and deputies, and department heads and deputies of the elected officials. To me, they're the positions of policymaking authority, and the Board of Elections, obviously, I've felt strongly for a while that you shouldn't be running in elections and involved in running the elections. It's less than I would want, but I feel like it's a reasonable compromise. I don't think the executive's office is against it, and none of the other elected officials have objected.
I was told that... The comptroller, the sheriff, and the executive's office had no qualms. I do have one. So we had
appointed officials, the deputies and deputy county executives, and
Our curiosity was why the county clerk's office was included.
You're stealing my thunder. That was my
and the county clerk's office.
Thing.
I'll add it.
Okay,
there's no oversight.
So like there was one or two no's in our caucus, but majority it seemed to be okay with it. That was the one request, I think, on behalf of Legislator Cahill.
I make a motion that we amend it to add the county clerk and deputy county clerks. Because there's multiple deputy county clerks.
Second.
So that has to be a plural.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any other Legislator Levine?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question for the sponsor. In regards to you're mentioning employees of the Board of Elections, is that not something that's wouldn't be covered under state legislation that would kind of preclude that? No.
No. We've had what's his name
Ernest.
From Rosendale, Ernest. He was the
town board member.
Deputy.
He wasn't deputy. Who was deputy under Ashley?
So the deputy elections commissioner was a town board member in Rosendale.
Right.
It's not covered by state law.
So there's no, so us passing a prohibition on that would not be in conflict with state law?
No. Not to my knowledge, Nick.
Not unless state law affirmatively permits it, which it doesn't, right? So then it's not a conflict.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just have one more question.
Sure.
In regards
I got you.
To... All of I know we had mentioned this at caucus the other day, but in regards to the co-sponsor of this, Legislator Maloney, is he still in favor of these?
I think that he'd prefer they not be in there.
Yeah, I mean, per his conversation at caucus, he was just like, whatever.
I mean, he and I spoke on the way up here.
I don't think he's going to. He's not going to vote against it. It doesn't seem like it.
But. I don't think he's going to vote against it. I think he'll get up and say this is this is crap. This is no good. This isn't going to stop anything. But that I assume is what's coming.
I appreciate.
We'll find out Tuesday.
I appreciate the sponsor's willingness to entertain amendments that are in the interest of the rest of the legislature. So thank you.
Did you want to speak on that question, Quirk?
No, I have a separate question.
Let Legislator Hunter go, and then I got you.
Thank you. Another thing that came up in our caucus was a question whether political party members
Oh, yes.
Because they're elected as well, like the Republican and Democratic committee members of the towns and the counties, whether this would exclude that kind of office holding as well. On my reading, it didn't seem to.
It would not. It's very specific to, elective public office of any city, town, or village within Ulster County.
Yeah.
So party positions were not included in that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is my interpretation as well. Councilor Gordon?
Yeah, I have a question on this, and just in terms of the sort of the fundamental behind fundamental sort of enforcement mechanism. It's expressed as a prohibition on certain county officials holding local office. What's the concept of quote unquote enforcement if such a that condition occurs? The county official holds local office. What's the payoff?
Unless you want to answer that.
I mean, I'd defer to Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no enforcement mechanism in here, right? But I don't think that the result would be that the public office would be vacated. I think the result would be that the county position would then, at the discretion of the department head, if they're going to enforce the policy, be in jeopardy.
That's what I was driving
at. I mean, I think we're counting on the executive and the elected officials to comply with the policy. If they didn't, then we'd have to contemplate what action the legislature would take for not complying with our policy.
I guess I understand that. That's what I anticipated. I'm just saying in terms of language, it's expressed as a prohibition on holding the local office, and I think what the intent is, as an enforcement mechanism, if nothing else, that we would deny the county, that ultimately it's the denial of the county office to somebody that's doing both. And so because when you say a prohibition on holding the local office, it's almost like you can't do that and we're going to kind of stop you. And with respect to Nick's answer, do we need to express that? Because otherwise we're just prohibiting holding a local office, and what do you do?
Thoughts, Nick?
I guess, whichever language, and we have a representative of the executive here, might be, because I know there is a complaint from the county attorney's office sometimes that we enact policies and then we don't provide a roadmap as to how to enforce them. To me, what this says is, if you're going to appoint someone, you can't appoint them if they're holding office. And when they are appointed, they can't run for office. It's incompatible with holding the appointed office of the elected officials department. I don't know if changing the words, the wording to the converse would make it more enforceable or not, or if you're suggesting adding an actual clause.
I'm really just throwing it out there and seeing what everybody thinks about it. It's just something that struck me.
So administratively, as a deputy county executive, I sign off on every request to fill. So in the process of any elected official or any department head, if they're going to fill any position within the county, comes through us first. We have to sign off on it, and if we don't, then it doesn't get
approved.
Administratively, I can deal with it.
What happens if one of your people runs for a local office and wins?
So is this a prohibition on running or holding?
That's
a
holding.
Point. It's a prohibition on. It's a prohibition on somebody holding local office. So what happens?
So if one of somebody within the executive is elected, then if they don't resign, we terminate them.
Okay.
Because it'd be in violation of the law. And I guess it'd be the only, and this is something I think you all have to consider, is that's something that we would be able to do, but I can't speak for other elected officials, especially the constitutionally defined ones like the sheriff.
I mean, at that point, the sheriff and the clerk,
that would be otherwise affected. But then it's you guys hold the purse strings, I guess.
I mean, we hold the purse strings, and again, if we got into that particular battle, I think that we would have options.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're looking for.
I feel pretty confident in.
I think it'd be
those mechanisms.
Okay, we've had the discussion, so it's on the table.
Do we want to put those mechanisms in writing?
I don't think you need
to.
Okay. Legislator Erner and then Levine.
Is there, I'm sorry, I haven't read it recently, so I have to ask, but does it take effect immediately, and what effect would it have on anyone who might be in violation of it at that point?
There currently is nobody in violation of it.
And okay. It does take effect immediately.
Okay.
Upon signature.
Thanks.
By limiting it to deputies and assistant deputies in the executive's office, everybody in our office, I wanted to apply everybody in our office, but we just decided to streamline it. So everybody who's listed here is not currently a local elected official.
I assume, but don't know that applies to the county clerk that we added, deputy county clerk.
I don't believe you though.
Okay.
There's county clerks? I assume.
There's a couple.
Two or three.
I don't think they are.
Three deputy county clerks? Alice, what's his name?
Taylor.
Two? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think.
They serve on any town or village boards or?
No.
No,
Taylor's not, and he resigned as the historian, right? To be the deputy? Yeah.
All right,
Legislator Levine.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman, again. Just a quick question in regards to, I know this was mentioned at the caucus in regards to that this was going to be potentially amended to only include offices, titles that would be within the line of succession to that office. For the deputy county executives, for example, that were in the line of succession to the county executive's office, but not necessarily like an assistant deputy executive that's not in the line of succession.
I specifically wanted assistant deputies left in. That was one of my in my discussions. That was one
I think
of my,
that was, I only,
deal breakers.
I really remember that discussion and reasoning why the deputy clerk technically should be included.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would be in
the line of succession. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah, that was the reason, because like also the clerk's office is they're more of a taking in, they don't really give out resources, but still, mm-hmm. just for parity across the board, it makes sense to have them, so.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. None, passes unanimously. Moving on to last but not least, resolution number 115, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $50,000 entered into by the county for Cook, Kurtz, and Murphy, PC, Ulster County Attorney. My understanding.
I'll move it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Motion
for
discussion. Second. Second by Roberts. My understanding is they're essentially on retainer for us.
The Cook?
Yeah, it's like they deal with outside.
They do litigation. Some of the work they're doing now is related to the sexual assault or sexual abuse claims going back to the 50s and 60s. But Cook is they're one of our major outside litigators.
Sounds good.
Saved my hiney twice when I was getting sued when I was chairman. So both times legislators were suing me.
Of course. Yeah, I don't even.
John Parody and Dave Donaldson sued me over the referendum language, and then what was the second one?
I do remember.
John
that
sued me over something else too.
Who was the plaintiff?
I just want to know what happened to Clunan and the other guy. All of a sudden, the name of the law firm was shortened.
Yeah, it doesn't have necessary.
Yeah, Clunan and what was the other one? Starts with an N, maybe.
Murphy.
No, Murphy's still on there.
Jay hooked me up. Jay. Any other discussion?
Jay's the bomb.
Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Netter.
Passes unanimously.
That's it, Netter. Did start with an N.
All right, so you have the forthcoming resolutions. I don't think we need to discuss any of them unless you wanted to discuss yours that was this week. 124.
The LLC thing, does that come back? Does that come to this committee that was postponed in Ways and Means?
For
Legislator Maloney's LLC.
They just sent us the mock test version. I don't know.
The resolution 8, policy requiring disclosure of the names of individuals holding ownership interest. That does not come here? Okay. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, otherwise we would schedule a special meeting.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
My understanding is no. So the only thing I you guys can find in your packets, we received from Commissioner Quigley and Dittus, they're holding two different open houses.
The information's included in your materials if folks are interested, as they are under the purview of this committee. The only other new business that I requested was added. I don't know how much you all want to go into it this evening, but just to put it on the radar for discussion. In between our last meeting and this meeting, we received advisory opinion from the Ulster County Board of Ethics regarding a mayor legislator who owns or rents a housing accommodation within Ulster County that would be subjected to good cause legislation, participate in debate, and so on, as the letter says. One, obviously with good cause, with the most recent rulings in Albany and the city of Poughkeepsie, becomes more and more aware that this is going to be something that the courts are saying, you know, has to be done on the statewide level. But it's still, I mean, one, I personally found their letter very confusing. Not really sure what to make of it, especially the last paragraph. But they, you know, just for the sake of this committee, they did say the legislature may want to reconsider the ethics law's impact on debate over matters that may merely, quote unquote, indirectly benefit its members. So just, you know, folks want to put that as food for thought, but...
it's astonishing.
Yeah. I don't really know what to make of it, but I read it a couple times and didn't get any further.
It seems to imply that we shouldn't be voting on anything.
Yeah, essentially we shouldn't be voting on a budget, essentially.
Do they serve at our pleasure?
Some of them do.
Leader Ronk had...
Bobby Nuzzo.
Had one? Do you have...
One.
Temporary chair.
No, I think we had three. Do we have three? Or two?
I think that each of us has one.
Majority
leader, minority leader, you've got
couple.
Three.
One is picked by the committee themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. So it's three from the legislature, three from the executive, and then one chosen by the board.
The board picks the seven.
Yep. So for a while they didn't, right?
Wait, so did I pick two and you pick one?
The chair picked one.
I think the chair picks one, you pick one.
Yeah, that's how it was, because what's the name from Rosendale?
And that got confusing because... we could only appoint so many of each party, so it was a race to get there. It was a race to get one in. The chairwoman put somebody in that I believe had no intention of doing it in the first place, and you know, so that could be first, and then replaced that person.
But yeah, so I mean, I'll let you know if you haven't read it. I encourage you to read it, but if you have any thoughts, Councilor Pascal has any thoughts. I also asked Councilor Ragucci to look into it, but he couldn't be here this evening.
Yeah, no.
If you have any thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
My thought is this. This is a problem because of the nature of the legislature. Typically, when you look at things like conflict of interest laws, they really relate to something like somebody letting a contract out, picking a contractor who's and the result of that contract is going to end up with money in their pocket. So it's either a very direct benefit or it's not. And you're asking the ethics board to read the ethics law and figure out where does a legislative choice, lie. And they're looking at a situation where there's a continuum of possibility that a legislative choice might benefit a legislator. This has been going on for a while, and I've heard a lot of frustration in this room and in the legislature about these sorts of restrictions, and that's very well understandable, not only because of the marginal impact on the benefit for the legislators, but also because the legislature has a responsibility to represent their district, and if you don't vote on something, you're disenfranchising your constituents. And I talked to Chris earlier today about this, he put me onto it, and what I thought since then, and just floating an idea, is that we may want to define, if we do pick up the invitation to legislate, we may want to define a third category here, where the legislature is not the same binary choice between an official either corruptly letting a contract or not. A lot of times there are, cross considerations for a legislator that is sits on the board of a nonprofit that may have an interest in housing or the environment or something like that. This has happened quite a bit. And what I might suggest is that the remedy is not to take away your vote or the right of your constituents to have to be heard, but rather just to disclose. I'm on the board of this group, or you know, there's some other thing that I bring to this, and just liberal disclosure. It's all out on the table. Your constituents still have a voice. You can make a vote that's, you know, of marginal benefit to you, perhaps, and that might be a way to move forward. Because I think there is actually, I was not as, I mean, everybody was critical, and I was critical, but there is a point that, for instance, if there are landlords in this body, and some of this legislation may really seriously impact your business, there is a legitimate commentary. Whether it rises to the level of, therefore you can't vote, is secondary, but I would suggest coming up with a middle category like that, where you disclose and then move on.
I'll just say I find it interesting that two different boards interpreting two different laws regarding the same question came up with essentially the same result, right? So the prior board, under the appearance of impropriety clause, which is not prominently or featured at all in the new law, said basically the same thing. You couldn't vote on it, right? We had that standing opinion. Mm-hmm. This is a new request under a new law, a new board, same result, different reasoning. There are several attorneys on the Board of Ethics, right?
Yeah, mine was an attorney.
You know, because I was Dylan Gallagher's an attorney, Deb Schneer's an attorney.
That's what Deb Schneer is.
There's another attorney on there. I think there's a third attorney on that board. But anyway, I mean, they could ask the county attorney for advice. That's certainly permissible. But there's an exception, right, for laws of general application, which I think maybe they should have referred to when they were considering this, you know, this question. But it's, you know, we could try to legislate around it, or you could have the board reconsider and ask for legal advice, although it's, you know, there are three attorneys on the board.
I want to piggyback on that for a moment. I think the council's right, and people, you can appoint a whole new ethics board, but people tend to fulfill, to some extent, they are who they are, but they also tend to fulfill the office that you put them in. And if you put a bunch of people who are sworn to uphold the ethics and you make them read a law like this, you're going to get a decision like that.
You get a conservative reading.
Yeah. Which is, it's not criticism, it's just more. It's just kind of made it even, I'm even more confused now. But that's just like what you said. So I would request if. Unless the committee has any issues, that you two and Rigucci within the before next meeting, if you guys just put your heads together, and if there is any recommendations or like not even recommendations, possible, you know, actions we that us as a committee could consider.
Nick, is there, you know, my recollection's failing me right now, is there an exemption in there for laws of general application that's specific?
You know, Chris and I discussed that. He and I thought there was, but I have to look at it again.
I mean, because if there's not, I feel like the easiest thing we could do is amend the ethics law to declare that, you know, laws of general application shall not be, you know, seen as a, you know, appearance of impropriety or something
that
like that.
That may provide an indirect benefit.
Yeah.
I feel like there is actually already language in the law about laws of general application, but if there's
I
not,
thought so too, but
if there's not, that's
because we've had this discussion several times. Right.
So if that's good with the committee, if the legal minds, that be just for just to bring for next month's meeting.
Yeah.
All right. Any other new business from folks? Seeing none, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everyone.